Good morning. How are y'all this morning? I'm doing well. Doing well. If you can this morning, you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. John in chapter 5. I have wrestled with this passage of Scripture for a full week. There's a lot in this text. As we look at John chapter 5, we're going to begin in 16, and we're going to go until we stop this morning. There's a lot in this discourse that Christ gives to the Jewish people, a lot. And it's only for us to seek out and to search and to find these truths and what they mean. And today we're going to try to do that. If you can, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 5. We're going to begin in 16, and let's read to about 21. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, thanking you for your word. Lord, as we look at the Sabbath, and as we look at the Lord's Day today, I ask, Lord God, that you would grant me grace and mercy to be able to preach it with boldness, Lord. I pray that the people would be able to receive it. Lord, as we look at what Jesus taught, I pray that we would be able to take these things and apply them into our life. Lord, we know these are your teachings, not ours, but yours. And so this morning we ask, Lord, that we would receive them as such. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John chapter 5 and verse 16, we're going to begin here. Last week we zoomed out on chapter 5 and the story of the man that was healed at the pool of Bethesda. We zoomed out on that and we noticed that Christ Jesus came specifically to this one man when there was a great multitude that was there that was sick. And he healed this man, showing us the doctrine of election, that Christ Jesus has called us. He has chosen us before anything else was. Election was in the very beginning. And so we see that and we understand that from last week. Let's move on here, and we're going to begin in verse 16. And Christ Jesus has just healed this man. This man goes into the temple and begins to testify of what Christ Jesus had done for him. Now let's understand something real quick this morning. That when the Lord Jesus heals us, when he saves us, he gives us a new song. Is that right? And so he gives us a new song, and our place of worship becomes then in the temple. So we have to understand that we, when he makes us new and he makes us alive, there is evident fruit of that. And we see that by the man at the pool of Bethesda. He went into the temple where he was not permitted to go for 38 years because he was sick. Went into the temple and began to worship the Lord and broadcast what God and good things God had done for him. And so we move on in 15, it says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. In verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. We know from Scripture that the Sabbath was made for man. We can all agree with that. That is God's word. Mark chapter 2 and 27 says, Jesus said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We agree with that. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Sabbath before the resurrection was Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And the Old Testament, even up into the New Testament, before the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we understand the Sabbath to have been the seventh day of the week. This is what Matthew Henry, a great theologian, I have a lot of respect for him. He's been dead a long time now, and most of the men that I read have been dead a long time. But nevertheless, Matthew Henry says this. He says, the Sabbath is a sacred and divine institution, but we must receive and embrace it as a privilege and a benefit, not as a task or drudgery. The Sabbath was made for us. And I'm going to get to the New Testament part of that here in just a moment. But to do that and to understand Jesus being the Lord of the Sabbath, we have to look at it then in the Old Testament. And so that's what I talk about. When you have to balance Scripture out, you have to look at both. You can't just say, take one and say that that's the truth. You have to take both of them and balance it out and look at both of them and make it a whole there. So the Sabbath was made for us that we may be able to break from our labors and enter into that rest. We understand that from the Old Testament. Listen to what it says on the sixth day according to Genesis in chapter 1 and 27. Now remember, Jesus' teachings, they go all the way back to Genesis. They do. They go back to the book of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He always goes back to there. On the sixth day, according to Genesis 1 and 27, the Lord created man and woman. And then on the seventh day, the Lord instituted the Sabbath. What does this show us? It shows us that the seventh day was created for man to rest and worship the Lord on. We were made on the sixth day. The Sabbath was instituted then on the seventh. Listen to what it says in Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 10. In verse 8 it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. So he commanded us that for 6 days we should work and then on the seventh we should rest. This is what he commanded us to do. This was actually in the Ten Commandments. In verse 10 it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservants, nor thy cattle. I always try to get something in there with cows, y'all know that. Nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Christ Jesus created in 6 days all things and then rested on the seventh day. Our Lord rested on the seventh day. Remember, David said in Psalms 118, when I first came to grace, we was doing a winter conference back in January, I think it was. And we went through the great hallelujah, Psalms 115 through 118. And listen to what Psalms 118 says. And this is part of that great hallelujah. 118 and 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The day that David was talking about was the Lord's day, was the Sabbath day. This was the day that they were instructed to come in and to do their corporate worship. It was the seventh day in the Old Testament. Today, however, we have a different Sabbath. And this flips everybody out. They can't explain it. They can't understand it. And I'm going to do my best this morning to be able to do just that. Our Sabbath today is the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, the first day of the week. Well, there's proof to back this up. You say, well, the early church just didn't decide just to move church to Sundays? No, there's actual proof in why this is. This Sabbath is called the Lord's Day. We call this day, what we're meeting on right now, the Lord's Day for a reason. Because Christ Jesus rose from the dead on this day. Y'all understand that? Mark chapter 16, 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. Mark 16, 1 and 2. And when the Sabbath was passed, when the Saturday was over, Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. We see where the first day is brought in here. Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 10, John the Beloved. This is who we've been in for the last several months. John the Beloved. Revelation, the great revelator, John, he writes in 1 and 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Not on Saturday, but on Sunday. The day that our Lord Jesus resurrected was on Sunday, and that was His day. And now today we are to honor and respect Him in that day. And to do that, we are to rest in that day. So by moving the Lord's day forward one day, it puts us in remembrance of the Lord's resurrection. It puts us in remembrance that we will be resurrected one day. That our loved ones will be resurrected one day. That He literally resurrected our dead self and made us new. And so this is why we worship our Lord on the Lord's day. On the Lord's day, our Lord resurrected. On the Lord's day, John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelations. On the Lord's day, we come in and we lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because of who He is and what He has done for us. He has given us a day off. And I praise God for that He looked down into the future and said, they're going to need a day to stop and to worship Me. Because remember, He created us to work. In the garden, He created them to work. When He kicked them out of the garden, He then told them, by the sweat of your brow, you are going to work. And so this Sabbath day or this Lord's day that He's given us is not something that is to be dreaded, but it is something for us to as a gift to accept it and to honor the Lord on it. The Lord's day was created as a gift for man. Now y'all pay attention to what I'm telling you. As a gift for man to stop and to worship our Savior and rest from our labors. He instituted it and we are to receive it. Okay, church? Question. You say, Brother Matthew, what am I allowed to do and what am I not allowed to do on the Sabbath? On the Lord's day? Well, was this not the argument that was going on in John in chapter 5 with the Jewish people? They were looking at Jesus, who was the Sabbath, and they were saying, why are you doing this? Why are you healing a man on the Sabbath day? So what are we allowed to do? Well, I want us to understand before we go to that the Sabbath day was never about rules and regulations. Ever. It's never been about rules and regulations. But it's always been about resting in the One that created us. So it's not about rules and regulations, but it's for our enjoyment. So before we go any further, I want you to understand that. We are to rest in the Lord on this day. Let me ask you another question. When we don't rest and worship the King of Kings on the Lord's day, what does that say to Him? And I know people work all hours of the day, every day, this and that. But my question still stands. When we don't rest and worship the King of Kings on His day, what does that say to Him? Our society, guys, and you all know this, our society and our culture as a whole, or the vast majority of them, they have taken this principle in Scripture and they have thrown it completely out the window. You say, Brother Matthew, this is some hard teaching. Yes, it is. So was the doctrine of election. Jesus' teachings are not easy. but they're legitimate and they're true. I know people work all hours of the day nowadays, guys, and I don't want you to think that I'm not telling you that you're not allowed to do this or that, this or that, because we understand that it's not about rules and it's not about regulations. But if you have a job where you must work on Sundays, we must set aside a time that we must honor and worship our Savior on that day. There's no getting around it. Just because we're not in the Old Testament anymore doesn't mean that we're not to adhere to the principle of the Lord's Day worship. We have to. He instituted it for us to then be able to rest. Real quick, on the other side of that coin, there are some that don't work at all. And this is a problem too. And it applies to the Lord's Day as well. You say, well, how does that happen? How does that apply? Well, for those that don't work at all, the word lazy is an understatement on their behalf. If we have able bodies and we have able minds, then we have able hands and we should use them. And so what happens, and it gets real quiet. This is what gets pastors in trouble. But I'm not trying to go around these verses. I'm trying to go straight through them and show you what the Scripture is teaching us. So for those that don't work and those that don't do anything, it cheapens the Sabbath. It cheapens the Lord's Day. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, then it just becomes another day. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Matthew? Well, they've rested all week, so what good's another day to rest? So there's no difference in any of the days, in the 7 days. And so we have to understand that those that work all the time and those that don't work at all, we're guilty of breaking the Sabbath, breaking the Lord's Day. Not a favorable message, not a favorable topic. When everything's 24 hours a day nowadays, 7 days a week. But regardless of our society, God has given us His Word that we must adhere to. Just because our culture teaches us that we have to do X, Y, and Z doesn't mean that we have to listen to our culture and our society. We have to understand that Sunday is the Lord's Day and it belongs to Him. He made it for us. And we're to stop and we're to acknowledge Him and who He is. And guys, I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of it. I was talking to Brother Chad this morning about it in my office. It's not easy. And I say this morning, let the Spirit be your guide. I'm not judging no man or no woman this morning. I am simply laying the fact down what Jesus said in His Word. Don't hate the messenger. Listen to God's Word. Listen to what it says. Let's move on. Let's get off of 16. I don't want to stay on that too long. Let's go to verse 17. 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus responds to the Jews and says, "My Father." Now, I want us to see what this is saying. Not only is Jesus doing these wonderful works on the Sabbath day, but now He's coming to the people and He's saying, "My Father." What does that mean? It means that He's the Son, doesn't it? So not only is He working on the Sabbath day, but He is calling God the Father His Daddy. Guys, this infuriated the Jews. It infuriated the Jews. The Scripture says that when you look past this, that they wanted to slay Him. And so their charge against Him was that He worked on the Sabbath and that He claimed to be the Son of God. Last week we looked at the doctrine of election. In Luke in chapter 4, this was part of the text that I read to you last week. Luke in chapter 4, but I didn't finish it. I didn't finish it. The text that we read last week and that doctrine that I preached last week was something that's very hard for a lot of people to hear. But listen to what it says as I finish Luke chapter 4. Luke 4 and 28 and 29. Listen to what it says. After Christ Jesus taught this, this is what happened. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Christ's teachings can do that, can they not? When they heard this, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. They literally grabbed a hold of him and threw him out of the city. Because he taught this doctrine of election. The people didn't like it. His teachings were not easy. So the people threw the Lord out of the city. In 29 it says, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built. Led him to the very edge. And it says that they may cast him down headlong. They wanted to murder Jesus Christ because he taught a hard doctrine. And it's no different here in our text. Because of what the text says, the people wanted to slay him because he taught that he worked on the Sabbath and that he was one with his Father. And him and the Father were one. It was his Father and he was then the Son. Christ's teachings, ladies and gentlemen, are not easy to hear. But we understand that they separate the wheat from the chaff. They purge the church. They purge those that we are around. And they're truly not easy to hear. Verse 17, listen to what it says. My Father worketh hitherto and I work. Now Christ Jesus is saying, not only do I work on the Sabbath, not only is the Father my Father, and I am His Son, but now He goes one step further and He says, my Father works on the Sabbath as well. And this literally sent them off the deep end. The people were furious at Christ Jesus. They wanted to kill Him. They had a burning hatred for this man. And why? Because he spoke what? The truth. Did Christ Jesus speak the truth, guys? Was he not the Word of God? He spoke the truth. Verse 18, listen to what it says. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now I want us to look at the beginning of verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. In the Greek, this means a graphic nature of increased and untiring effort to kill. They were constantly in their mind thinking of ways of destruction on how they could destroy our Lord. Their minds and their hearts were set on destruction. It was graphic. We understand by the end of the gospel, we see Christ Jesus and he experiences a graphic death. Does he not? And this was their will and this was their desire. And this is where Christ Jesus begins his discourse to the people. And I want you to understand something as we get into it this morning, just for a moment, that it runs uninterrupted from verse 19 to 47. Because the people could say nothing against him. Christ Jesus comes out and he preaches for that many verses, and the people could say nothing against him. Verse 19, listen to what it says. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also doeth the Son likewise. This is what he says. He says, amen. And amen. When he says verily, verily, or truly, truly, he's saying surely, surely. Not surely, but surely, surely. He's saying the amen and the amen. And what the people heard when he said that was he's claiming to have the truth come out of him at that moment. This is why I fired the people up so bad. Because he said verily, verily, or truly, truly, amen and amen, let it be what I'm about to tell you. And we see no response from the people. Listen to what it says. Christ is telling them plainly, I am the Son of God. This is what he's telling them. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Look at the word loveth, or love, right there for just a moment. I want to break this down in the Greek for just a moment, because this is not the word agape. This is not the word agape that's brought out here in our text. And we're going to look at it because John gives us, and this is the special type of love that God had for the Son, the Father had for the Son. And I want you to see this morning, because this is like any other love. Not only did he have a self-sacrificial love for the Son, that he loved him, but he also had a friendship love for the Son, that he was his best friend. And I want you to see what this text says. For the Father loveth the Son. John the Beloved in the Gospel of John brings out two words and two different types of love. And this is important. You need to write this down, because it shows the relationship between the Father and the Son. The first word, or the first way that he shows this love, is in John in chapter 3 and 36. The word is agape. And we understand this word to mean self-sacrificial love, don't we? The word agape, or self-sacrificial love. John 3:36, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. This is what John said, that the Father loveth the Son. He had an agape form of love. But here in John in chapter 5, the Gospel of John, he says something different, showing us that the Father and the Son had this relationship that was so close that they could not be separated. And this was the idea that John is teaching us here in chapter 5. Listen to what he says. For the Father loveth the Son. The word is phileo. Friendship. So not only do we have agape, but now we have phileo, or the tender affection for a friend. So it takes his relationship between the two of them and it heightens it. Because not only is it self-sacrificial, but it's a friendship kind of love, that they are so intimate with one another. They know each other's hearts. They know each other's thoughts. They know each other's words. There's no separating the two. And this is the idea that John is showing us, that Jesus is preaching to the people, that you can't separate the Father from the Son. My oldest brother, Micah, he and I are good friends. And I can text him a quote from a movie, and he can text me back the response from the same movie that's in the movie, because we're friends. My brother Jonathan is the same way. My brother Micah and my brother Jonathan, we can send each other text messages, and they can finish my thoughts, because they are my friends and they know me. They know what I'm thinking in my heart. They know how I will respond to something. And Jesus Christ and the Father's no different. The things that the Father done, Jesus done. The things that the Son done, the Father done. And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But so we see in this text that there is agape and phileo, or a tender affection for a friend. And so this is the concept that John is trying to show us, that him and the Father are one. Let's move on to 21 and I'm done. Listen to what it says in 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So we see that he says the Father raises up the dead. That speaks of all the Old Testament accounts that he literally raised the dead to life. And we're going to look at the spiritual raising later on in our text that Christ Jesus is going to go through in 24 and 25. But here in 21, he's talking about the physical raising of the body. And so we see that for as the Father raises up the dead, what did he do in Exodus in chapter 37 with the dry bones? Were they not raised to life? You see, all the way through the Old Testament with Elijah's widow, her son was raised to life, was he not? Come on, guys, was he not raised to life? And so we see that Christ Jesus, we see that God the Father raised these people up from the dead, and he was able to do that. And not only was he able to do that, but the son was able to do that. And as so far he hadn't done this in the Gospel of John, but it's not far off where he raises the widow's son of Nain. It's not far off where he raises Jairus' daughter, is it not? And so we see that not only does the Father raise from the dead, but Christ Jesus has the power to raise from the dead, making them to one. They're inseparable. You cannot separate the Father and the Son. Even so, the Son quickeneth whom He will. If we can, guys, what I want to do now is I want to go ahead and close before I get into another doctrine of our Lord and His teachings in 22. Because once we get into 22, it's going to run pretty quick. And so I want to stop there, but I want you to think about who our Lord Jesus is. I want you to think for just a moment. That, guys, this is the day that the Lord has made. Just because our society and our culture teaches us something, God's Word is still the ultimate authority, is it not? And we are to listen to it. Not only are we to listen to it, but when we hear it, we are then to yield to it. And by doing such, we honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who rose us from the dead. This morning, if you can, let's stand. As our musicians come, remember the Lord's Day is not about rules and regulations. It's about worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. This morning, let's worship the Lord on His day. He's given it to us for us to rest and for us to reflect on Him resurrecting from the dead. Let's worship Him today. Let's pray.